Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, gentle listeners. It is I, your humble host, Bill Hatch III, coming to you live from beautiful Santa Ana, California. Well, at least it's live when you're doing this. If you're listening to the archives, then we're not live anymore. We are alive, but we're not doing it now. This is the totally approachable Bible study for all, continuing from Romans 6:3, actually. I'm here in the studio with Rudy, who may or may not comment. I'm joined on the phone by my father, William Chaplain Bill Hatch. How are you doing, Pop?
I'm doing well. Did you forget who I was there for a brief moment? I couldn't.
No, just twisted over my tongue. As all.
Good evening, Blog Talklandians, wherever you may be. I'll apologize if I come in and out, but I am in a car with another chaplain who may very well be adding his thoughts as we go through things tonight. It's Chaplain Sean Allen. He works with me at the VA hospital in New Orleans, and he is licensed minister, chaplain with the Church of, you say it, Sean, I'm goofing it up.
I am a licensed minister with the Christian Church Disciples of Christ.
Oh, okay.
Which is actually the church I was originally raised in, or the denomination I was originally raised in. But anyway, we are driving, and there are places along this road that just go in and out of service. So I'll just apologize if we have experienced that.
Okay. Well, now that forewarned is forearmed.
Okay.
Great.
I think we're going to finish Romans tonight. How about that?
I'm thinking you're right. So we'll have to get ready for our next book, huh? But this seems to be easily closed out enough. Do you want to start us off with verse 3?
Certainly. I am reading from the New International Version tonight. I've got one phone in hand to talk and one phone to read the scripture. Like I said, I'm not driving, Chaplain Allen is.
Oh, okay.
Verse 3 says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house."
Wow.
We did start this last week.
We did, with the note about Priscilla being listed first.
Which is highly unusual, especially for Paul. And
right.
Paul gives them great accolades here. They originally met in Corinth. And when they're listed in Acts the first time, it says Aquila and Priscilla.
Mm.
After that, it is always listed as Priscilla being first, which historically we believe means that she was the more energetic and more devout Christian leader of the two. And it's really something when we look at Paul's overall teachings. It doesn't happen often, but he is giving credit to her first. But
right.
Both of them first for risking their lives.
Do we know the story?
I'm sorry?
Do we know that story?
Well, we only know parts of it. We know that Priscilla and Aquila were part of a Jewish community that had been in Rome and were forced out of Rome.
Okay.
And they went to Corinth, and we know that there was a lot of persecution of Christians.
Right.
But Priscilla and Aquila kept their faith very strong. They're the ones who took the young apostle named Apollos who was going around teaching the baptism of John the Baptist, but not knowing about Christ until Priscilla and Aquila gave him more instructions. And he was one of the big preachers, if I may, in the area of Corinth after that. But we don't have anything specific other than the usual challenges of people being arrested and persecuted and sometimes literally hunted down. I mean, Paul was a hunter himself at one point before his conversion. And by the time Paul is writing to the Romans, Priscilla and Aquila apparently have been allowed to return to Rome. And they're still presenting the faith there as well. And that's why there is so much that is owed by everybody, according to Paul, to both Priscilla and Aquila. And they never gave up having that Christian effort emphasis. But there's no particular point about how they might have nearly died for the Christian movement.
Right. Yeah, one of those interesting mysteries that I guess we'll have to wait to have revealed to us.
Yes. Do you want to take that one?
Sure. Let's see. I'm reading from the Amplified. Let's see. Also greet the church that meets, that meets in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus. How is that pronounced?
Well, for me, it's Epaphroditus.
Epaphroditus.
Okay. My pronunciation is not good anyway.
Okay, we'll call him Epi. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first convert to Christ from the west coast province of Asia Minor. Greet Mary, who worked so hard for you. We have another woman being mentioned by herself. Do we know which Mary this is?
No, we do not know either one of them historically.
Wow.
Alan, do you know anything about them by chance?
I do not. I have not read anything on either one of them.
I think it's interesting that at least for Epaphroditus, you did this to me on purpose just so I'd mispronounce the names, but Epaphroditus was in Asia, but now he's moved to Rome. It's amazing how many people will jump into the fire out of the frying pan for the Lord, but these folks literally went to the lion's den in the sense that they were willing to go to Rome for their faith. And yes, Mary's just another elevated individual, not quite like Phoebe up at the top of the chapter, who's called a deaconess. We don't have any level of what Mary has attained, this Mary has attained, but still she's worthy of mentioning by Paul, who many people feel was not he was a woman antagonizer, not necessarily a, he didn't really think very highly of very many, but she's one of them for sure.
Yeah.
It goes on in verse 7, if my bouncing eyes read the verse correctly.
Yep.
Greet Andromachus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. Therefore, these are both male names.
Now I see I have a note that would argue against that in the.
Really?
Yes. It says or either Junius or Junia, feminine. There is a higher probability that the name is feminine. No masculine form found in this or near time period. So Junius may very well have been another woman.
I wonder how that would have worked in prisons, having men and women together.
I don't know.
That's why I based it on the fact that I thought they might both be men. But I don't mind the idea. If it's a feminine gender in the amplified,
right?
Maybe they were.
They are outstanding among the apostles. Again, equal level, if it is indeed a feminine Virginia or genera. But the word for deacon, there's no difference between deacon and deaconess in the Greek.
Right.
And then Paul makes another revelation that's important, and that's he recognizes them as being Christians longer than he has been.
Who were believers in Christ before me.
Yeah, and that's important for all of us to know. We get really energetic when we're new in the faith, and we meet other people who are quietly around and don't realize, you know, that they really have some Christian background that we should be more aware of and aren't always. If I may expound a little bit.
Sure.
When you were, 5 years old, I was minister of youth and senior adults at First Baptist Church, Santa Ana, which, of course, this program literally came out of.
Yeah, that's true.
And there was one gentleman who was always in church every week. He was chaplain for Sander. He was always called chaplain, but nobody ever really shared anything about his title of chaplain. And it wasn't until I went to Navy chaplain boot camp and was required to read through histories, and I'm reading through the history of Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941, and reading about Chaplain Phil Forsander, who was blown off the deck of one of the ships in Pearl Harbor at the attack, and realizing that that was the same Chaplain Forsander who was in church every Sunday. I read further in things, found out that his son became a chaplain, and they were the first father and son chaplains on active duty at the same time.
Wow.
And so it just reminds me of this passage where it's, they were Christians before me, or were in Christ before I was, and those people exist. We should always be looking at these people around us and finding out, because we can only grow when we allow that in our lives to take place. From back when you were a young man.
Little boy at five.
Yep. In 76, I guess you were really four. But we stayed there a year and a half. So you were four and five at that point in time.
Yep.
You want to pick it up at the next verse?
Yeah. At eight. Let's see. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, the one. What?
You're doing great.
Oh, okay. Greet Apelles, the one tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus.
Okay. Why don't you please pause there?
Okay.
From the little bit, and I have not done much, but the studying around this portion of Scripture before, when he talks about greet Apelles, whose fidelity or testing is where he stood the test, may be a reference to this brother in the Lord went through a lot of torture that most people don't go through. The fact that Paul, who went through so many terrible beatings during his lifetime, acknowledges that Apelles withstood similar tests. Paul must have even
seen them as equal to or greater than some of the suffering he had gone through.
Yeah.
Because Paul is not one to usually, you know, lift up other people that way. It was
right.
always the point of, if anybody thinks they've been through too much, I've been through more of it, if I might borrow from 2 Corinthians. But it's important
yeah.
to see that the tortures that Christians went through make today's prison times look like a cakewalk. And of course, more and more I think that is true about most prison terms these days are being cakewalks in this
mm-hmm.
country, not in every country. But they went through some suffering that was horrendous. And Paul recognizes Apelles as being one of those who has withstood that testing. And that's high praise from Paul.
Right.
Okay.
I've also got a note here about the household of Aristobulus. It says here in the Amplified, believed by some scholars to be the brother of Herod Agrippa the First, and grandson of Herod the Great.
Wow.
Yeah, that does throw an interesting curveball in there, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And yet, if we look back in Acts, I believe it's chapter 13, when Paul and Barnabas are first commissioned,
mm-hmm.
one of the other people who is listed in that group of praying individuals is from the household of Herod also.
Huh.
I'd have to do a name search to see if they're related to each other or not. I don't
right.
think it's the same person. But Christianity spread high and low when it started.
Mm.
It reached up into Herod's household as well into mostly prisoners' families and the
wow.
common folks. For the most part, it was always aimed at working class.
Sure.
To be able to see this kind of expression is also showing that it keeps expounding and it's gone to Rome.
Right.
I mean, Herod still had family power. Herod's family still had family power in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
And they left that because of their faith in Christ. So that really is an amazing point. What are people
yeah.
willing to give up for their faith? And what
right.
are we willing to not give up for our faith in this day and age?
That's true. For those who have much to lose, it is definitely difficult to give it all up.
Yep.
But, okay. Continuing on, verse 11, greet my kinsman Herodian, greet those of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphenia and Tryphosa. Greet my beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, an eminent and choice. I'm sorry?
I've gotten lost on where you're at.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just about to start searching. And Tryphosa. Yeah.
Those women who work hard in the Lord is what I have.
Oh, I have those workers.
Yeah, this NIV has it down as those women who work hard in the Lord. And I only have to say, see the references from above about how often Paul recognized and gave credit to women. But it's, again, here at the end of Romans. And, of course, that is why some people say this was added on later on by someone else just giving credit to Paul. I'm not going to go there with discussions. I'm going to treat it as gospel that the Holy Spirit allowed to have brought through. But it's an acknowledgement of the work of women in the church.
Definitely.
And it doesn't stop with them. It's greet my dear friend, Persis, I guess, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord.
Wow.
Do you have anything on gender for that?
No, I do not. Just greet my beloved Persis. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. And then we've got greet Rufus, an eminent and choice man in the Lord. Also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Another interesting reference there. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia.
Oh, wait a minute. NIV says, and the sisters with them.
Okay.
So,
and the sisters.
Even though they don't rate naming, but they at least name gendering in the NIV,
right.
And being able to see that.
Bunch of important women. Yeah, huh. Let's see.
Now
okay, 15? Okay,
yep,
greet.
Okay.
I think so. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all God's people who are with them, the saints. Greet one another with a holy kiss, which is normal at the time. All the churches of God greet you. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep your eyes on those who cause dissensions and create obstacles or introduce temptations for others to commit sin, acting in ways contrary to the doctrine which you have learned.
Yes.
Turn away. Anything to add there?
Oh, always. You know me better than that. There were divisions inside the Christian church. There were diversions and divisions outside the Christian church. Paul has very adequately talked earlier in Romans, especially about not dragging somebody down because they do or do not eat something that you or do or do not eat or drink.
Mm-hmm.
But there were other requirements, such as Judaizers who were requiring circumcision. There were others who said, no, you have to do all the laws of the Old Testament first before you can become a Christian. You have to do it just this way instead of having a willing heart. And abstaining from blood, of course, and sexual immorality. All those things were being tossed around and tempted. The amount of sexual promiscuity is really bad.
Mm.
In Rome.
Well, it was ritualized, was it not?
I'm sorry?
It was ritualized. Sexual promiscuity was ritualized at the time.
Oh, yes, and the worships for many different folks, yes.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention the standards for Roman households to have, for the man to have a young boy around for his urges, if we can put it lightly. The normalcy of such things. At the time,
it
would have
been
pretty rough. Yep.
And says, just remember the teachings, keep away from those things that you know better about. And isn't that always true for today? If you feel something is absolutely, well, first of all, there are the Big Ten. If you know that they go against those, don't do them. But if there are other things like, is it right for me to go into a dinner restaurant that also serves alcohol, you have to make that decision. And it shouldn't be anybody else's judgment. It's your decision whether or not you go to see movies that are unacceptable by some, which with some folks is like you can't go to any movies. And right. others who say all movies are fine because you're smart enough to know the difference. Well, you're smart enough to know the difference to go or not go.
Right.
But nobody else should be passing that kind of judgment. It's not against the law, so you don't have to worry about going against society. Here in New Orleans, VA hospital is right on Canal Boulevard. Canal Boulevard is the main parade route for Mardi Gras and for, oh, there are more parades around here. Just turn, stand up, turn around twice, and there'll be more parades listed. But if you ever plan on coming to New Orleans and driving up Canal Boulevard 65 miles an hour and ignoring all the lights, you're not going to survive. It's
right.
against the law, and it's against ethics and morals to try to go against the traffic that goes on that street. You're just not going to survive it. And you have to use that kind of attitude. But while we're not sure exactly when this letter was written, if it wasn't at the time it was being written, very soon in the near future, so is going to use street lamps on the roads of Rome. And that means literally he would light them on fire, and they weren't always already deceased.
Right.
And so Paul is trying to warn people, keep away from such things. And he goes on, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And people will always try to make themselves feel better if they can drag somebody else down to their level. And
yeah.
as Christians, we have to watch that. We are very near time to end.
We are. So I think we're gonna. I think we're gonna cut it off there. And
okay.
If indeed you have made it this far, then perhaps you'll go one step further with us and accept Christ into your heart tonight. So if that is your desire, then please, unless you're driving, close your eyes and fold your hands and all that good stuff and just follow along.
Dear Lord,
I am a sinner. Please turn me from my wicked ways and onto your path that you would have me live, that I may love God and love others and show your mercy to the world. Cleanse my heart as white as snow and bring me into your life. And all these things and more we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
No special words or anything like that. Just a simple little prayer and you're done. Now you go out and find yourself a Bible preaching church and get involved.
Absolutely. Fellowship of believers is absolutely necessary and should not be restricted just to Blog Talk Radio or other electronic broadcasts of all sorts, but being able to have that fellowship with others so you can ask many more relevant questions.
Yep, so you can actually interact. Now, you can interact with us in a limited capacity. We do respond to notes here on Blog Talk Radio and also on our Facebook pages, both YWL Online and Your Wonderful Life, both the initials and spelled out. If you contact us through there, it'll show up on my phone, and I'll respond as best I can. Perhaps we'll even respond online if the timing's right. And That's I guess, any closing thoughts?
Just God's blessing for everyone. Have a good week. Look forward to participating on Saturday night.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right. Remember to join us here on Saturday night. We're here at 8 p.m. Pacific time to do Anything Can Happen Saturday. And we're still making our way through our 316 study. So it's getting pretty good. And that, I believe, is about that. So join us again. Remember, Wednesdays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. And that's it.
8 p.m. in California. It's 10 o'clock here in New Orleans. All right. Good night. God bless.